is how we do it.
This is how we do it. Sheeman and Shepard, this is how we do it. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. We just played some audio. It was 30 years ago today that we had the World Series earthquake in the Bay Area. I see that Wig, my man Wig, has texted in. He said he was stationed at the USS Mount Hood at the time, and he was there. I don't know if he was there like in the area or there at the game. I'd like to hear more about what his... Wig, if you give us a call, give us a call. I'd love to hear you could do a scene set or what the city of San Francisco was like during the next 48 hours after
And when you think about it, I mean, they actually said the game, believe it or not, actually reduced the loss of life because out there was a five. I mean, it came on the air at 5:04, 8:04 here, obviously. Excuse me. And the game was supposed to start at 5:34 their time. But a lot of people stayed at work later to viewing parties. And a lot of people left early to come to the game because there were thousands of people in the stadium already when it hit. And the other part, Jim Palmer was also part of this broadcast, and just going over some the timeline now, and I remember you didn't hear from Jim. So what happened was during the quake, McCarver and Al and Jim Palmer grabbed for whatever they could to try to brace themselves. Mm-hmm. They grabbed onto one another's legs so hard, everybody had a bruise.
Really?
Everybody had thigh bruises.
Oh, they were swaying.
Yeah.
They were in a cement structure. Were. I've actually broadcast a football game from that stadium for the 49ers. And so, I mean, it's old. You're up high. It's rickety. It's old cement. And if that thing was swaying, I remember sitting there years later in the booth going, man, I can't imagine what it'd be like if this thing was rocking back and forth. You feel like you're going to tip over.
And and by contrast, now Jack Buck, probably one of my favorite broadcasters of all time, the late, great Jack Buck, Joe's dad, Johnny Bench and John Rooney, they're doing the game on radio when the earthquake started. But a lot of their stuff was pre-taped on radio, so they weren't on the air. But Johnny Bench ran to a spot, I guess, underneath a steel gate, and Jack Buck said, if he moved that fast, he'd never get into a double play. I never saw anyone move that fast in my life.
No doubt.
Yep.
Yeah, that's amazing. You don't ever hear anything about the radio broadcast that day, and that's why it was all on tape with the pregame.
Yeah, and all ESPN was doing live coverage, and Joe Torre's report was interrupted, too, back then during the game.
All right, my man Wig says he was actually on the ship at the time.
Oh, wow.
I don't believe there was any kind of
thank
tsunami.
Thank you for your service. I didn't realize that.
Oh, absolutely. Wig straight up, man. All right, we're a little behind schedule. I do want to talk about the NFL draft in 2018. I'll tell you why in just a moment. But first, it's time for a SportsCenter rundown. Here's Chris.
All right, we've got game four of the ALCS tonight. Coverage, 8:08 first pitch on FS1. Greinke going for the Stros. Tanaka getting the start for the Pinstripes. 99.3 ESPN, we're going to have Thursday night football from Denver. Broncos hosting the Chiefs. Our coverage starts at 8, kickoff at 8:20. And Adam Silver says China asked the NBA to fire Daryl Morey. He said there was no chance of that happening.
Way to stay strong. LeBron's on the wrong side of history.
And just a few more little nuggets about this, what happened. So ABC started to air a rerun of Roseanne and then the Wonder Years before Ted Koppel began anchoring news coverage from Washington. Mm-hmm. And Al Michaels was the de facto reporter. Mm-hmm. The blimp was up there showing all the stuff. So as for the series, and I forgot about that. I mean, it was delayed. So Faye Vincent, the commissioner at the time, decides to postpone game three.
Right.
But he didn't tell anybody before doing it, which the umpires, remember, got pissed? They wanted to they protested for 5 days. So it was the longest delay in World Series history.
I don't remember that.
And it was postponed another 5 days. So they didn't resume
until October. They had a 10-day layoff?
Yep, they didn't resume
until I thought it was longer than the October four we were talking about earlier.
October 27th, because of delays in restoring transmission links. And then San Francisco Mayor Art Agnos wanted to wait a month before resuming it, and Vincent responded to Agnos by telling him that he might move it elsewhere if the delay would be that long. So he had several other National American League parks on standby, Wrigley Field, Comiskey in Chicago, Kingdome in Seattle, Astrodome in
Wrigley
Houston.
In November?
Yes.
See, that was the one nice thing about
Comiskey
being
in November.
That was about the nice thing about it being in the Bay. If the stadium was deemed safe, and that was the biggest issue I remember, if they had any cracks in the structure, they would have the weather to do it.
Well, Wrigley and Comiskey, the Kingdome in Seattle, the Astrodome in Houston, Yankee Stadium and Shea Stadium in New York.
Wow. All right, my man Wig has called in to give us his perspective from 30 years ago in the Bay Area during the earthquake. Wig, what's up, man?
What's up, Wig?
Hey, what's happening, fellas?
I didn't know you were in the service. Thank you.
Yeah, man, I was stationed actually on the USS Mount Hood, which was docked right there in San Francisco. And a lot of the guys used to go to the Giants games when they had Liberty. So we were stationed right there by the Bay Bridge, which is right between Treasure Island and Alcatraz.
Wow. Yeah, Alcatraz.
Yeah. Yep.
Trust me, I was out there for 3 years.
Yeah.
And when it went down, it was like literally crazy because I'm like, well, what's going on? It was like, we're in an earthquake. Some people was like laughing because it was, the boat was trembling, but we were like, well, we good because we're in the water. I was like, an earthquake? So you know me, I'm from Florida. I was like, I'm used to hurricane. Oh, an earthquake? You mean like when the land is opening? Like, yeah, that type of thing.
Yeah, that guy.
And so I was like, man, but you know, they had to, they brought us in from the dock, and we had to basically help out around in the city. It was crazy, like something like off a movie, literally.
Man,
yeah, it must have been. Sure.
So I mean, so it must just been a mess for a day. I mean, did you get off the ship often, or where? I mean, what was your routine like?
Yeah, I mean, I was in communications, but due to we had to go out and help in the city, you know, per our duty section.
Yeah.
Whenever we had time, you know, we'd have to go out to clean up or help manage, you know, the citizens.
Wow.
Well, were you watching the game? Were you able to watch the game? I know it was at 5:04 at that time when it came on. Were you able to watch while it was happening? I know it's not probably like a 15-20 second delay, so you probably felt it first before Al and before everybody else did.
Well, I wasn't really watching the game due to I really wasn't a Giants fan.
Yeah.
I did go to a couple games when the Braves, you know, played out there because Deion was on the team at the time, and I was trying to, you know, get a holler at him. But I really wasn't a Giant fan. And, you know, me being a young guy, I was too busy trying to run around the streets of Oakland and San Francisco due to they just right across the bridge from each other, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Right.
But once, like you said, the bridge had went down, it was kind of mass hysteria. People had to go via the Golden Gateway due to the Bay Bridge and all those other ways was, you know, tore down.
Yeah.
It was pretty crazy out there at the time.
Well, thanks for calling in and painting the picture like we asked you to. That was great. Thank you, Wig. Hey, only 10 more weeks of the Dolphins, man, and then they were on to the draft.
No. Hey, no, I have to make a statement before I leave.
You know, all right.
I wish, you know, they said that they're not tanking, and I know that they are, but it really hit me when I was watching the game the other day, and the announcer said, you know, Channel J hasn't targeted Devontae Parker, Preston Wilson, and I'm saying to myself, they are tanking now because you got to put your team in the best chance to win. And that last play, as far as the 2-point conversion to win, after two timeouts, you can't say that was the best play call that they would have, you know, came up with.
It's a great point.
So, man, you guys, it's kind of like when guys point shave in a basketball game. They're like, how can you do that?
Yeah.
You miss a free throw here, you throw the ball out of bounds there. I mean, and that's why I feel like DeMarcus, the guy who's over the PA, he should be going at the commissioner due to every guy on the Dolphin team should get paid $5 million extra. Because they're out there getting almost, you know, putting their life on the line in concussions, and these guys are literally tanking. You know, you got to put us in the best position to win. And since I'm on this team, y'all not trying to win. Come on, man.
Yeah.
So you guys have a good day, man. Y'all are the greatest show on the earth.
Thank you.
All right, thanks, Wig. I appreciate it, man. That's Wig. 239-337-ESPN. All right, as long as we are talking football there, I stumbled across something this morning that I found interesting. I couldn't sit and watch it or whatever, but somebody, you know how the talking heads in the morning put up stuff just to see if it sticks. And it stuck with me. I just didn't have time to dive into it. But they were trying to predict how the world would look today if, indeed, the Browns with the first pick in 2018 had taken Sam Darnold instead of Baker Mayfield, who went number one in the draft, and how things will look. And would this help? Would the Browns, like, really be good now? And would the Jets have taken Baker Mayfield or whatever? So I thought we'd kind of revisit a little bit. And now that we have history and a year and a half later to look at this stuff, see what we think about that a little bit. I thought it'd be a fun little exercise today. So I'll start with both of you. how different would the Browns look if they had Sam Darnold? Now, remember, Sam Darnold started right away with the Jets. Baker Mayfield did not start right away because of Hugh Jackson. I don't know if Hugh Jackson would have started Sam Darnold right away and if things would have been different for the Browns or not. My suspicion is Hugh Jackson might not have. I think he was trying to be out too smart for the situation.
We all remember Sam Darnold's first start against your Detroit Lions. The first pass he ever threw was a pick six, but he came back and beat your Lions. Yeah. Would Baker Mayfield have done that?
Beth Mowins was calling that game.
You guys are flooding me with these horrendous memories. You're right. We would have won that game.
I'm also going to tell me, is Sam Darnold going to get hurt with Cleveland and miss some?
What, he got mono?
Well, I think the interesting part of that is if Darnold went number one, you know, Saquon went number two to the Giants.
Right.
Does that change them? Maybe they go Baker, which means Daniel Jones wasn't taken at number six this year.
Yeah.
It's the domino effect.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think the Giants were hell bent on taking Saquon. I do. I don't. Yeah. Again, we can argue whether that was the right decision.
Okay,
or
then.
Not.
So the Jets sitting at three, do they go Baker? Maybe they went with a guy like Denzel Ward. Or so far the best player from last year's draft has been Quentin Nelson, who was taken six overall. Yeah. I mean, if you're going to do a true redraft,
And do they still take him if they know what Andrew Luck's future holds?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh yeah,
because they were high on. They already had Jacoby.
Yep.
Well, having a great, and I get it. He's a guard, not a tackle. But having a generational talent is always going to help your team. That dude is.
And they needed
he's
it.
Nasty.
They needed it.
Yeah.
Wow. That's an interesting premise. It really is to see. But
and did the Browns that year had two picks out of the first four.
Yeah, Denzel Ward.
There was a lot of people that thought, all right, we take Saquon number one,
and then get Baker
back
at four,
and get whoever you want, whoever's left over at number
four, because you knew it was going to be Baker, Darnold. And remember, a lot of people were really high on Josh Rosen at the time.
Instead of Josh Allen. Josh Allen was the wild card.
Right,
Josh
who Allen ended up going card. Ahead of Rosen.
He went at seven to the Bills, and Lamar Jackson didn't even go in the first round. He was the first pick of the second round.
Yeah.
You know, so the 10th pick in last year's draft, or the 2018 draft, Josh Rosen, no longer with the team he was drafted. Yeah. The 11th pick was Minka Fitzpatrick to the Miami Dolphins.
No longer
with the team.
Yeah. The Bucs took Vita Vey, by the way, if you remember. Yep. He's still, if he can stay healthy, I think he's going to be a nice player.
Right. But in the middle with, not to get sidetracked here, but when he's healthy, the middle with him and Ndamukong.
It's
a really good center of the defensive line.
I remember the Cowboys took the
Leighton Vander Esch.
I'm going to win me some Super Bowls in Dallas. Oh, he turned out to be a pretty damn good football player.
He might be right.
Well, not about the Super Bowl. He's a damn good player.
Yeah. I remember the Lions took Frank Ragnow, and I'm like, who?
Oh, Mike.
He's been great.
And I'm a very satisfying player. He'll have a nice 10-plus year career. Wow.
Dolphins fans, do you want to know why we're in this position?
Why? What happened? What'd I miss?
Because second round from that year, the Dolphins selected Mike Gesicki.
Who?
Oh, well, he's been a disappointment.
A massive disappointment.
I thought he was a steal when they got him. I loved him at Penn State.
The next two players drafted.
He was supposed to be the next Gronk.
Kerryon Johnson
and
Dante Pettis, who's turned into a nice receiver.
Yeah.
The next Gronk. The guy couldn't block.
I know.
Yeah. He can't play. He's a wide receiver.
But he was, you know, that big body type and rumbling, bumbling, stumbling and athletic. We saw him make some one-handed catches in preseason, remember? And
Stay woke, you're right. I misspoke and spoke correctly at the same time. I said he was a 32nd pick, Lamar Jackson, and I said second round. Yeah, 32nd pick. You're right. Last pick of the first round.
First round.
Yeah.
Because there are 32 teams, Craig.
Thank you, Chris.
And nobody had their first rounder taken away from them.
Really? Because it seems like every other year the Patriots get fined a first-round pick and they don't have one.
No, they've never been fined
every other year? Really?
Huh?
Every other year?
Seems like it.
Yeah.
Every third.
Spygate, Deflate Gate, Belichick Gate, Brady Gate, TB12 Gate.
I'm gonna
post Brady Gate? What's Brady Gate?
It's something.
It's any gate. Toothpaste Gate, Toothpaste Gate, you know, Avocado Gate. It doesn't matter.
Oh, avocado.
Solid. Don't mistake it for wasabi. Move.
I I'm going to post a video one of these
days. I did that once.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah, you said that.
I heard a guy die doing that.
Well, if you're allergic to
it. A guy took a ton of wasabi thinking it was guacamole dip and, like, had inflammation in his esophagus and died. My son did that to me once. Because my son really likes sushi, and he said, here, Dad, here's some guacamole with it on the side. It's really good. Try it. And he loaded it up with wasabi.
Believed him?
Well, yeah.
What, do you think? That was like turkey slices next to it as well?
He's a little prankster.
Not the ginger?
Right, ginger, yeah. Yeah.
Can I get to my Patrick Mahomes story?
I'm sorry, yes.
That's okay.
Go ahead. Are we done with the draft?
Well,
did we redraft?
Are we going to redraft the whole?
No.
That seems boring. No.
That seems really long and tedious.
I just wanted to speculate about a few picks. And I think
the message going down to the Kansas City church, they're begging for the Lord to heal Patrick Mahomes' ankle.
Okay.
The Asbury United Methodist Church is planning a healing service on Sunday morning for Patrick's left ankle.
Why not tonight?
I don't know, which he injured week one and re-aggravated this past weekend against the Texans. And I'm looking at it right now. With the last two games, you kind of thought that they may need some type of help. A rep for the church told a local KC TV station, we knew that his ankle was injured, so we decided to possibly have a healing service to help him heal the ankle quicker. And it's actually on their marquee. You know, churches have marquees outside. Mahomes ankle healing service Sunday at 9 and 11 a.m. 9 and 11 a.m.
Two services, yeah.
Dear Jesus, please save Patrick Mahomes' ankle.
Wow.
Yep. That's where we're at.
Well, we'll see if it. Do they understand that they that
that's a problem?
They play on Thursday.
Yeah, that's a problem. The Chiefs play
Denver
tonight.
So technically, they're praying for him to be healed for their next game in 10 days.
Yes.
Who's next on their schedule?
They planned it for this week. They forgot.
They screwed up.
They screwed up.
You think God would have told him that?
No, I think God was.
God's smiling at him, playing a joke.
Yep.
They have the Packers on Sunday Night Football next weekend.
Oh, must-see team. Well, he'll have 10 days to rest if he doesn't retweak it tonight. I didn't think he looked that bad last week. So
I'll tell you, there is some
he didn't to start the game, but then he got his ankle rolled up on. And
he was 9 of 19 after the ankle rolled up on. He was not the same after that.
No, they scored.
But I thought he looked mobile.
They scored all their points in the first half, though.
Yeah.
All their points
in
the first half.
Well, they kind of been doing that this year, even when he was healthy. Remember the Raiders game? Just nothing, and then 28 points in the second quarter, and then more nothing.
Well, the Indy game, they didn't score a lot any time.
They've also averaged 18.5 points in their losses, but
I'm telling you, Matt Patricia showed the way, the blueprint. Step on his ankle and try and stuff the run up the middle.
They're averaging 25 in their losses. Sorry, no, they're not. I'm sorry.
18.5.
Yep. Sorry. I was looking at the winning scores.
I don't know if I should read this or not. Blazed and Glazed says, wrapping up and getting ready to listen. Hear you guys in 11 minutes. Going to burn one first. It's 4:20. Is that the kind of clientele we have listening to our show?
You do you, pal. You do you.
Yeah. All right.
Ever float your boat.
Whatever. Just don't drive. That's all I ask. That's all I got. All right. Don't forget, tonight, 8 o'clock, the Thursday night football we've been talking about. Chiefs and Broncos, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Listen to the game here on 99.3. Chris, are you all right in there?
Denver hasn't won against.
Yeah.
You're looking like tired. In last break, you had not one but two hoodies on. So I'm curious. Are you good?
Yeah, I'm fine.
You fighting it?
Yeah.
Feeling like a Thursday? That you wish it was a Friday?
Getting sick, a little tickly.
No,
throat,
I'm not.
You up late last night?
It's a weird night last night.
Why? Nothing was on.
I laid down in bed with my kid to get him to sleep. I rolled over. Thought I had just fallen asleep for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It was 1 a.m.
Oh, 5 hours instead of 5 minutes.
Well, it was like 4 hours.
Yeah.
And then I couldn't get back to sleep.
Never could get back to sleep.
Then I went back to sleep at like 4. Then the 1-year-old woke up at like 5.
Yeah.
It was just a real shoddy night.
That's not good.
No, I will not stay up for the whole game tonight.
No. All right. Wow, here's another one. 239. He's not the only one, and I don't drink. Happy 420, fellas.
239, I'm driving right now. Hashtag high.
Please don't.
Don't do that.
Don't text as well.
Texting, driving, and whatever you call it. Getting high.
Texting and toting.
Texting and toting. So anyway, yeah, Thursday night football tonight, right?
Trying
here.
To load up on coffee.
99.3 ESPN. I've already blown through my Mountain Dews, so if I have any more, I'll stroke out. Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Oh, no.
Why?
Oh, no.
Because you can't e-haul?
Oh, Lord.
Yee-haw!
Sounds like the old Levi's commercial, remember?
I'm yodeling. All right, let's get the usual over with. Who is this?
Brooks
What's
and
the name of the song? And of course,
Boots,
it sucks.
Scootin' Boogie.
Thank you.
Sheeman song does not suck.
No, that's a good song.
It ain't good.
Here we go, rodeo.
Do-si-do.
But rodeo, so here we go, do-si-do, rodeo.
Yeah, it's something like that. I don't know.
I still can't get over you guys think John Denver's good.
Yeah, of course,
he's not rehashed that hot take from yesterday.
He's great.
Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Apparently, a lot of you people smoke during the show. We talk about it was 4:20. Dumpster fire text again. I drive for DoorDash. If these idiots all make it home and safely, then they order food. Hashtag job security.
There we go.
Gold Grill wants to know, what kind of car are you driving while high? Cops listen too, LOL. 239 says, I'm at a red light. Guys, hashtag safety first. First time getting my text read on the radio. Hashtag go Bucks. Hashtag 420. Hashtag cut Winston. Mm-hmm. Not in that order.
Well, getting back to football, you're still looking at Patrick Mahomes and how to defend him. We brought this up yesterday. I mean, it goes back to the first half of the AFC title game last year when the Patriots were shutting him out, and he was only, I think, 4 of 8 or 2 of 4, something like that in the first half. Mm-hmm. In fact, I got the numbers right here. But 81% of the time, people are playing man coverage now on Patrick Mahomes, and it's definitely making a there's no question it's making a difference. It's much different. His completion percentage versus zone is 82%. Man, 54%.
Well, I was running my mouth earlier saying that Matt Patricia and the Lions showed everybody else how to defend him. That's all the Lions do is man-to-man.
Yeah.
So there might be some truth to that statement.
And when throwing deep 20-plus yards versus zone this year, he's 9 of 11 with 7 touchdowns and no picks. Mm-hmm. However, against man, throwing 20-plus yards down the field, he's 8 of 30 with 1 touchdown and 1 pick. Wow. Now, again, he hasn't had all his weapons available. No, you know.
If this weren't a divisional game, would he be playing tonight?
Yes.
Oh, I think so.
You think?
Yeah.
I think these guys play, unless something's broken or could get worse, they play. Especially if you're a quarterback. I think it's your job to find a way to get on the field and play. I don't even know who Kansas City's backup quarterback is. Who is it?
Well, the only reason I say that is, including tonight's game, they have 5 more games before their bye week. Now, they hit a mini-bye
this week
after tonight with
Mike
10
Moore.
Games,
yeah,
or with 10 days off before their next game.
Right.
Matt Moore is a backup.
Matt Moore?
Yeah.
Who's
former Dolphin?
Competent.
Yeah.
Not
yep.
awful, terrible.
Not Patrick Mahomes.
But, no. That's not what I'm saying. But if this were the Lions game,
yeah,
I just wonder if, you know, it's 5 more games. Do you just take the L and say, you know what, we need a healthy number 15 to go the rest of the way?
I think you and I can always have that as a discussion. I don't think that ever happens.
Crosses their mind.
No, I think it's like, do whatever you can to get out. We'll buy time against their bodies against the future game. And keep going forward. And just keep trying to get out there until you can't anymore.
Here's some more interesting numbers. The Broncos have played only 49% man this year. However, Indy and in Houston were in a similar boat. The Colts played 78% man versus the Chiefs, despite averaging only 42%. And the Texans played 75%, despite averaging 50%. Both of them won. And you talk about him being hobbled, Mahomes, since he came out limping at the 3:52 mark of the second quarter in that game against the Colts.
Yeah,
he's attempted only 5 passes out of 49 from out of the pocket.
Well,
prior to the injury against the Colts, he had attempted 10 of his 25 passes.
We need to remember
in the
though
game.
That's not when the injury happened. The injury happened week 1 against the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's when the initial injury happened. He got rolled up on. So it's not like he's shown that he can't have good games while dealing with this ankle injury. But each of the last 2 weeks, as soon as it looks like somebody
tweaks it,
right, then his numbers decrease big time.
That's a good point.
But it's basically, play man on him. and run the ball, which the Broncos do very well with Lindsey and Freeman. I think I'll be shocked if this game doesn't come right down to the wire tonight.
I think, well, maybe, and maybe in my mind, because it's Thursday night and Kansas City's the road team, okay, so the Broncos have beaten the Titans. Who's their other win against? I mean, they're just a really bad football team. And again, anything goes on a Thursday night on the road for Kansas City.
I don't think
there
was
Chargers.
Bad. I don't think
yeah,
Chargers. I don't think there's. I don't know if they're really bad.
Yeah, but
really
I
bad is Washington and Miami. I think they're really.
I'm gonna part ways with you guys on this. I think the Broncos are really bad.
I don't
remember.
Think really bad.
I mean, this team is 30 seconds away from 3-3. Mitchell Trubisky
yeah,
of all people.
Exactly.
I mean, led a game winning field goal drive in week two.
Joe Flacco is going to put up some. He's going to put up some yards against that awful Kansas City defense. It's not good. Their defense is not good.
It's horrendous.
It's horrendous.
I'm not sold, but if I come in here tomorrow and you guys say, look, I told you so, fine.
What do you think the score is going to be tonight?
I have no idea.
Well, look, the scores last year were close. Kansas City won. They haven't lost to them since 2015.
I'll say 30-20.
Philip Lindsay and Royce Freeman are each averaging over 4 yards per carry. Freeman, 4.3. Philip Lindsay, 4.7 yards per carry.
I don't think Kansas City's offense is putting up 30 points tonight. Now, if something happens on pick six or something, special teams, yeah. I will be stunned if we come in here tomorrow talking about Patrick Mahomes putting up 30 in that stadium against that defense.
I could see a goose egg in the first quarter. Like I could see a repeat of the Raider game. You know, slow start, slow roll, and then they explode in bunches. Tyreek Hill gets loose.
The Broncos are only averaging 17.6 points, but I get the feeling tonight they're probably going to go over that.
Well,
depending on how much ball control they have running the football.
I'm not willing to put Skittles on it. I'm going to shy away from this one. You guys are more aggressive than I am, but I don't see a Kansas City loss.
Also remember with Denver, this team has taken a turn since John Elway kind of called everybody out. I think it was after their week 3 loss, so they still lost to the Jags, but Gardner Minshew had to lead another 2-minute game-winning field goal drive at the end of that game to walk out of there with the win. They've really cut back on the penalties in the last 3 weeks on the offensive line. Yeah. That was killing them. Yeah. That was killing them. They had an offensive Bowles. Was it Bowles, the offensive lineman? He was averaging like 2 holding calls per game.
Right.
That's an absurd amount of holding calls.
And the Kansas City Chiefs rank against the run this year 30th. Over the last 2 weeks against Houston and Indy combined to rush 86 times.
I'm surprised it's that high.
Yeah. No, the defense is not good.
They can win a Super Bowl if their defense is just average.
Yeah,
right.
But it's been so far below that.
But if they're going to continue to stymie Patrick Mahomes, this man-to-man coverage, if a lot of teams, and again, not every team can do it because you just can't. It's just you can talk about all you want about blueprint for this or that. Some teams have the personnel to do it. Others don't.
Now, man-to-man, do you really want to line up man-to-man with Tyreek Hill out there?
No.
As he's getting
nobody that can
as
cover
he's
him.
Getting more healthy?
No, there's nobody that can cover him.
Well, may not be able to cover him, but you can maybe frustrate him, and that's where guys like Chris Harris Jr., Bryce Callahan tonight, the corners, the safeties, Kareem Jackson, Justin Simmons, those four guys, huge. Huge tonight. If they stay disciplined, I think, look, I'll be stunned. If one team wins this by more than 7, I'll be stunned.
Yeah.
I'll be stunned. I just don't see it.
I'm going to disagree, and then tomorrow morning at 2 o'clock, if I say I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
Tomorrow morning at 2 o'clock?
Tomorrow afternoon at 2 o'clock? Tomorrow morning at 2 o'clock, you won't be hearing from me.
No, I don't want to.
I hope nobody is hearing from me.
I don't want to. Yeah.
Like I said, last year these games were very close. We're very close.
Right.
Was it 20-17 and 27-23?
Who's? I mean, they can't. They still haven't figured out a way to replace a guy who lined up offsides.
Oh, the defensive lineman for the Chiefs.
D Ford?
Yeah.
D Ford. Frank Clark bringing him in from Seattle. That hasn't worked out so far.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Chris Jones, their defensive tackle, he was sneaky one of the best defensive linemen in football last year.
Yeah.
And he's out with a groin injury tonight.
Yep.
And he's been out with a groin injury for the last 3 weeks. I don't think that it's a coincidence that your best defensive tackle is out, and now all of a sudden people are really able to get whatever they want on the ground against you. And he's out of the game tonight.
Yeah.
I just think a lot of things point to a Denver win tonight.
I don't know if they win, but I'm taking Kansas City to win, but I think it's going to be very close. They may barely cover. I think the game's going to fall right on the button, but Flacco's going to take some shots downfield against this defense. So, Emmanuel Sanders.
Courtland Sutton has come on big in the last 3 weeks.
Absolutely. Dante Spencer, guys like that. Who's a tight end?
Noah Fant.
German. But Kansas City, this could be a battle of secondaries tonight, and I'll take my chances with Denver's over Ward, Breland, Fuller, and Thornhill for Kansas City.
All right. We'll see. Nothing else to say about it, although we'll say some more about it later on.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean a pick six can't happen here or there, and, defense.
No, I'll allow that.
I'll bet you defense and special teams comes into play tonight. But I think, I think Flacco's going to do what he does, which is throw
half
Hail Marys. And
He doesn't lose you football games. That's what Joe Flacco does.
Not usually.
Okay. He makes enough plays to keep you in the game.
And Patrick Mahomes is going to say, this is how we do it nowadays.
And go win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. Okay, all right, fine. All right. We've got an extra minute here before we got that.
And Von Miller, we're still waiting for a big game out of him, too.
Yeah, the season's half over. What's going on?
Not half over yet. But
we got Wikipedia in a moment. I wanted to make a mild left-hand turn. Well, actually, it's a radical left-hand turn. You know how last hour we did that this was the 30-year anniversary of the Earthquake World Series?
Yes.
Do you know what happened 10 years ago today? This is in Chris's lifetime.
That would be in 2007, 10 years ago.
No, that would be 2009, if my math is correct.
2009. I'm looking at 10-17. I'm going, what's...
Do you remember the Balloon Boy hoax as that silver balloon floated across America? And
I was
Shepard Smith did like 8 hours going, oh, my God, there's a boy inside that balloon. And there never was.
That was unbelievable.
That was 10 years ago today.
Was it? God. That was the most unbelievable thing I'd ever seen.
It was a Colorado family. They launched a massive silver helium balloon, only to realize that their 6-year-old son, or they thought, was inside. TV networks followed the balloon as it traveled 7,000 feet in the air until it was revealed that the kid had been hiding in the attic the whole time. Parents couldn't find him. That's where he was. He was in the attic. His name was Falcon, by the way. Eventually, Falcon revealed that the whole thing was a publicity stunt hatched by his parents, both of whom ended up doing jail time for their part in the ruse. All of America was glued to the TV for this. Now, Chris, do you remember that story? You would have been a teenager.
Not at all.
No,
oh, that was something.
No. That was my freshman semester in Tuscaloosa. It's fuzzy. Didn't watch a lot of news programming.
Wow.
Played a lot of Call of Duty, a lot of Madden.
FIFA?
A lot of illegal things.
How many classes we have signed up for? Five?
Well, I signed up for four.
We dropped three of them?
Four.
All four dropped. Yeah, I'm here dropping out. I'm
having a great time. What do you want from me?
I didn't know they allowed you to stay in school if you have 0 credit hours.
Lamar Odom did.
First semester.
Well,
Lamar Odom had an 0.1 at URI when they went to the Elite Eight.
Wow. How did you pull that off, Chris?
I just didn't go. Wow. Rolled out of bed every afternoon.
At noon?
Afternoon.
Two.
Whatever.
Four.
Then we go to bed.
Another day, another party?
Yeah, it's kind of what it is.
You're like Jesse's friends.
You're like Jesse's
friends in Breaking Bad without
the hair of the dog,
without the crystal meth. Yeah, sneaky with Pete and Badger. That's.
Were you at all concerned?
No.
Because your backup plan was you didn't think you were going to stick, right?
No, I kind of realized about this time of the semester, this isn't going to go well when I got to explain why I have 0 credits.
To mom and dad. Yeah. But you weren't worried about that.
Which explains why I was back in Fort Myers just 4 months later.
Finally got it turned around.
I had a great time, though. It was awesome. I got really good at beer pong.
Yeah.
Really good at beer pong.
Are you still good at it?
I've lost the touch.
Yeah.
I think I'm not going to go out there and embarrass myself.
No.
You know, if I'm going to compare it to golf,
yeah,
I'm a bogey golfer. I'm a bogey. You know, I'm not going to go out there and impress college kids.
Right.
But if it's a group of older 20-somethings, young 30-somethings,
yeah,
I go out there and hold my own. Sure thing.
You and your kid bounce some ping pong balls in a red solo cups just for fun?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, we don't bounce them. We just shoot them.
All right. All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is time to solicit caller number 9. It is going to be Broncos and Chiefs trivia since they play tonight on Thursday Night Football. We've got 20 Mo Bucks from Mo's Southwest Grill and a couple of tickets to this weekend's Oktoberfest in the Cape at the German-American Social Club. So all that is on the line for caller number 9 at 239-337-ESPN, 239-337-3776, Wikipedia, Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Think you got what it takes to stump the Shep? Shooter shoot. And here's your shot. It's Wikipedia. Brought to you by Moe's Southwest Grill. Moe's caters tailgate parties, retirement, and office parties. We cater any event. Wheel Southwest delivered. Visit Moe's.com/catering or call 239-384-3387. Welcome to Moe's Catering.
All right, here we go. Caller number 9 is Carl in the Cape. Carl, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing great, guys. How are you doing tonight?
Good. How old are you, Carl?
As I tell my students, I'm too old, but I'm 37.
That's fine. Just a little history is good for some of these questions. Are you a football fan?
Yeah, I love football, man.
Who's your favorite sport? Who's your favorite team?
NFL favorite team is the Bears.
Okay.
The Bears.
Well, since tonight we got the Chiefs and the Broncos, we're going to do the Chiefs and Broncos.
What if Nestor
were named Ditka?
All right. First one of three correct answers is the winner. And, Carl, you get to go first. What Kansas City Chiefs running back led the NFL in rushing touchdowns in 2003?
In 2003. That's tough. It's way too late to be Darrell or Ward. I'm not sure. I don't think I'm supposed to say Stephon Page, but he's a receiver. But I'll say that Stephon Page. Bad answer, but I'm going with it.
All right, Pete Shepard, would you know?
I believe it is Mr. Holmes, Mr. Priest Holmes.
Priest Holmes is the correct answer.
Easy answer, man. Yeah.
But don't worry, Pete does not get credit for that. However,
next closest was 15 rushing touchdowns that year. Nearly doubled it.
Really? Wow.
Yeah.
27. Oh. Man. All right, Pete Shepard, who's got a bad cold, snot running out of his face. Yep. He's not on his A game today. Let's see if we can stump him. Who coached the team in both the NFL and the AFL? I'm presuming the team would be the Chiefs.
Yeah, sorry.
I forgot to put that in the
that's my bad.
Question. So who coached the Chiefs in both the NFL and the AFL?
Oh, Hank Stram?
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's matriculate the ball down the field, fellas.
That's what he did. 1960 to 1974. Yep. Carl in the Cape, how many Super Bowls have the Broncos won?
The Broncos have won 2 Super Bowls.
Bingo.
Now, Chris, you said Super Bowl 32 and Super Bowl 33.
No.
They also won Super Bowl 50.
No, they didn't win 32
they
or
won
33.
3 Super Bowls.
They've won 3 Super Bowls. I think this is incorrect.
This was incorrect. That was a bad question from online.
They won, beat the Packers.
They beat the...
They got killed against Falcons. Seattle.
They beat the Falcons.
Elway won 2 in a row, and Peyton Manning won 1. There's 3.
Three. So that means the next question is wrong, too.
Fake news.
What's the next question?
I don't know what to do.
What's the next question?
Name 2 of the 3 Super Bowl MVPs for the Broncos.
John Elway and Ed Portis. Oh, no, it wasn't Portis.
No, it was not Portis.
Carl in the Cape with a chance to steal.
Should have been Portis.
Name me 2 Broncos Super Bowl MVPs.
That's easy.
I guess
it's
name 2?
Yeah.
And he just spotted John Elway.
Yeah,
I'll say John Elway. Now, I'm talking myself through this. Is it Von Miller or Terrell Davis in the first?
Yeah, Terrell Davis.
Well, wait a second. Give an answer.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, Terrell Davis sounds good.
Yeah. All right, we have a 1-1 tie.
Peyton Manning was in the other one?
I'll see if these questions are correct moving forward.
No, I think Von Miller was the other one.
How many Super Bowls have the Chiefs won, Pete? Oh, no, this is for Carl.
Yeah, it's for Carl. Yeah. It's an odd number question.
Yeah, you missed your chance. Carl, how many Super Bowls have the Chiefs won?
The Chiefs have not won a Super Bowl. They have been to one.
Wrong.
Pete Shepard.
1-1. They beat the Vikings in 69.
Super Bowl 4.
That was the Vikings' first team to ever lose 4 straight.
Don't worry, Pete doesn't get a point for that. We're still tied at 1. Yep. Next question is for Pete, however.
Mm-hmm.
The Chiefs moved to Kansas City in 1963 from where?
In Texas, but
that's a state.
I know, but Houston.
Ooh.
No. Dallas, damn it. Let's, sorry.
Hold on.
I just gave him the win.
Carl in the
that
Cape.
Was one or the other.
If you were listening closely,
you win. I gotta pull
what
my nose.
The Chiefs moved from Kansas City to Kansas City in 1963 from what city in Texas?
It sounds like Dallas.
Yes! Lamar Hunt Thanks. Did not want to compete with the Cowboys.
Silver platter. Here you
or
go.
Something like that.
Yeah. What's the score?
2-1. Oh, Carl in the Cape with a dominating lead.
No, I gave him the answer.
All right. Next question. Odd number question. So it's Carl the Cape for the win. What University of Miami running back was drafted by the Broncos in 2002?
Oh, that's got to be the aforementioned Quentin Porter.
Yep.
Yes! Yay. And we have a winner! A 3-1 score. Good job, Carl in the Cape. All right, my man.
Yeah, I tried, guys.
Congratulations.
Yeah, you guys did a great job.
Thank you. Stay on hold. Chris, take care of you. Let's see. We have one more. Oh, this is a good one. What University of Louisville linebacker was drafted by the Broncos in 1973.
Louisville Broncos. Oh,
yes.
Mecklenburg?
No.
Oh, Del Rio, no.
Primetime, the TV show.
Primetime, the TV show?
Tom Jackson.
NFL Primetime.
Tom Jackson.
Yeah, TJ. Yeah.
There you go. All right, that was it.
Mecklenburg was better.
Than Tom Jackson?
Yes.
What?
Carl Mecklenburg?
I mean, I don't know who Carl Mecklenburg is, but better? Tom Jackson's better.
Tom Jackson, right. Tom Jackson was very good. Mecklenburg was better.
Mecklenburg was pretty good.
Yeah.
Who?
He was an old-timey, stick-em kind of guy back in the 70s. You've never heard of him.
So he cheated?
No.
That was allowed back
then. I was going to say, I could respect that.
Yeah. He had tape rolling off of him.
He should have been a Raider.
He was a Raider type. Yeah. He was a Raider type. All right, this never happens. We're late. 5 o'clock hour. Rick Horro is coming up next, and then we'll do a little deep dive in tonight's Thursday Night Football game with the Chiefs and the Broncos. Stay with us. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN on the 99.3 ESPN app.